Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present.
What?
Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Honor. Took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. Welcome back to the Sunday morning brunch. The calling number is 929-477-2759. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Let me tell you this. This fall season is here in full effect. Everything that you could think of is on slate. You got two tickets that have been punched to make it go down in the Fall Classic. We have some unforgivable situations that have happened this past Saturday in the college world. And, oh, yes, we are now in front of week 7 in the NFL season. Oh, and to ice the cake, the NBA season is here. We got through at least close to a full week. The full week will come around this Tuesday, but at least we got that basketball going around, too. Hockey is involved as well. My Rangers are looking good, so I'm feeling good about that. At least they're actually winning games and not looking as poor as they were last year, and we have a clean slate. So at least we're in the fight right now in the Eastern Conference to the red, white, and blue. Shout out to Blue Shirts Underground and the people that we do our thing with. So last night, I'm going to get into a lot of these topics quickly so I can get in and out of here and do the best that I can with the week 8 of college football and get into week 7 of the NFL picks and predictions and thoughts and opinions. The one thing that hurt me personally last night is because of a matchup that I know the other party pretty well, and he lost severely. And Shakur Stevenson stopping my guy Jermell Herring in a boxing match. Shakur actually advances in his, you know, fighting career in an interesting stoppage. And it actually stopped at the 10th round. And I know a lot of people that come here aren't real big boxing fans. I'm a big boxing aficionado fan, somebody that's been following this sport for all of my life. But Jermell lost this fight in a 10th round, in which I know that these guys know each other well, especially being in the same weight class, but it's a 10th round stoppage, technical knockout. Shakur moves on with a lot of names in the same weight class that are looking to contend. And a lot of these guys in this weight class are going to have to end up matching up, regardless if they're undefeated or not. And it's tough because you don't want to see these guys' zeros go. But unfortunately, this is the nature of the beast and seeing who's the best and trying to get a better purse at the end of the day. But I definitely wanted to get that one out there as quick as possible. In the fighting world. Also, another quick, I can't even just like call it quick note, but in Major League Baseball, you have the Los Angeles Dodgers as the reigning champions going home now to kind of heal and lick their wounds as the Atlanta Braves knock them off and advance to the World Series, in which the Houston Astros are awaiting their presence. And this is very interesting because the Houston Astros took out the Boston Red Sox and in which in the ALCS, both of these teams had an interesting standpoint, if you will, to get to this postseason and make a run to get to the World Series, where both of these teams had to deal with all type of scrutiny and people leaving the team and people getting suspended, things of that nature. So it's tough to actually see these two teams go at it because it's still like the baseball world is still healing from the scandal that went down in Major League Baseball where the Astros supposedly, you know, were gaining edges in these games, especially when they were in Minute Maid Park down there in Texas. But nevertheless, the Astros are here to, I guess, defend themselves because last year it was against the Dodgers won as they took out the Rays. And it was more or less in the wake of the storm where everything was like kind of being lifted toward the Astros and, you know, the scandal, if you will. But now the Astros are back here, almost like the slate is clear. Of course, you got a lot of people that won't forget what's going on, going up against the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves have not been here since 1999, a 22-year stretch. And it's puzzling for me. Again, personal, another player that I watched has started his career until last season, Eddie Rosario, being a former Minnesota Twin, did a lot of work with Minnesota, a power hitter. Had his instances where he has struggled, especially the last 2 years of him being in Minnesota. They got rid of him and sent him to Cleveland. He gets traded midseason to Atlanta and now is like the unsung hero down there in Atlanta. So shout out to Rosie Rosario down there hitting home runs and getting good at bats while he's out there. So I can't take away much from what he's been able to do with the Braves. I don't even know which way to go with this because I'm looking at it like, you know, the Dodgers were a team that I felt like could get back there or at least wanted to see them defended in the World Series and get knocked off. But at least they got to the championship series and lost. So it's like, okay, I can deal with that. And watching the Braves actually be successful with the core that they have here and actually making it this far without one of their biggest names in Acuna being out all season long with a bad injury this season. I don't know which way I want to go with this, like with either the Astros or the Braves, because it's like I kind of want to see Atlanta win because it's like everybody's still going to have their, you know, the eyebrows kind of scrunched in, like, you know, what Houston's up to. And Atlanta, you know, really being so successful in the earlier years, like the 90s and the 80s, are making runs in the NL East and not being able to accomplish winning at all. I think winning one, if I'm not mistaken, throughout the entirety of their, you know, when Johnson was running the club. So it's up in the air. I really would rather see the Braves get it, but I know too many people in Atlanta. I know too many Braves fans. They'll probably let me hear it. Are you cheering for us on air? So I know I got to kind of keep this to a minimal. But it's interesting nevertheless, and if the Astros were to win it, I just would love to see, like, Altuve's response or Correa, a lot of the guys on their team on how they had to deal with this adversity for the past couple of seasons and getting to this point and try to bring it back to Texas again while Houston is still going through their ups and downs and a lot of other sports across the board. So I definitely had to give that credence right now as, again, the Braves knockoff, the Dodgers and winning that matchup 4-2 in Atlanta, winning this series 4-2 as well, 4-2. And that's the one thing about the Dodgers that actually puzzled me because they do have an offense that could actually get runs and get you behind. And also if they're actually scoring runs, they could be in a situation where they're strong as the Yankees on the West Coast. To me, I look at the Dodgers like the West Coast Yankees. To me, I say that in my head. They could put up anywhere from 4 to 6 runs and actually – make a team go up there, start swinging for the fences, and they're already out of their element. So I don't want to take too much away from what the more or less how I could say how the Dodgers brought this to the table, even though, you know, you had players that have left, going to other teams, but they still had that strong core of at least Cody, Turner, you know, Taylor. They had guys that could still make a difference at the end of the day. But nevertheless, they are done. They are out of here. There's only two. The Fall Classic is here, and we are a full week away from November. So this is This is get ready information. This is get ready atmosphere. Get your hoodies on. Get ready to enjoy it. And we're not really like that. I've never been to Texas, so I don't know what the atmosphere or the weather's like out there during, you know, late October, November. It probably should be decent because, you know, Texas is a warm state from what I hear. From what I hear. Okay, so I'm going to get in and out of this situation as best as possible. NCAA football is on the slate. Again, the caller number is 929-477-2759. Interesting games that went down in the top 25, I cannot lie. And I'm going to get to these scores and things of that nature as possible and go from there. So the first game we have is a Wednesday night matchup. Appalachian State knocks off Coastal Carolina. Upset. They were number 14 ranked. This took place in Boone. They win this one 30-27, and the storming of the field as well. Going to Thursday, SMU plays Tulane. They beat Tulane 55-26. The Green Wave is now 1-6 on the season, and SMU is undefeated still, 7-0. And the Saturday games in the top 25 goes as scheduled. Cincinnati wins their matchup up against Navy 27-20, in which Navy made this a game early. It looked like they could have stole this game, and they fell short. Cincinnati remains at number two. I wonder if the committee does mess around with them. The number three, Oklahoma Sooners, win their matchup up against Kansas. Now, this is an interesting matchup, people, because Kansas has always been in a situation where they aren't successful year in and year out playing football. They are 1-6 on the season, right? Oklahoma's 8-0. Oklahoma wins this game 35-23, in which late in this game, there was a 4th-and-1 play, and Kansas actually stopped Oklahoma, in which Caleb takes the ball from the running back from in front of him and ends up, moving the ball forward to complete the first down. And in a tough scenario, Kansas loses. And I feel, and a lot of other people feel, like that could have been like a penalty or something illegal, but I guess the refs felt otherwise. And I think that scrutiny deserves its hay, if you will. Alabama wins their matchup up against Tennessee 52-24 in a bludgeoning blowout on the SEC battle. Tennessee's now 500 on the season, Alabama 7-1. You have Ohio State winning their matchup in a blowout 54-7. Indiana should have probably never scored that touchdown in the first quarter, making it a 7-14 score after the first. After that, Ohio State put up 30 points in the second quarter. So it's 44-7 going into the half, and Indiana didn't score again after that. I think Indiana might have woken up the beast, if you will. Next matchup we have, Michigan wins their matchup up against Northwestern, 33-7, improving to 7-0 on the season. Harbaugh, are you for real? Are you for real is the question. Can you win the Big Ten is the question. The next matchup we have is in the Big Ten, like, I don't even know how to look at this. This is kind of like a how do I say it? I kind of want to say, like, this is like a dream game or like an upsetting situation, but I've never in my life seen this. Illinois wins their matchup up against Penn State 20-18 in a 9-overtime game. Okay, I'm going to try this again. 9 overtimes, 20-18. So obviously they weren't getting the ball scored. They're going back and forth trying to make this thing happen. The new rules that they have in college football makes this even more of an incredible situation. Nevertheless, it gets you at the edge of the seat to basically see who's going to win this game. Again, Penn State being number 7th ranked in the nation, losing to an unranked at the time 2-5 Illinois team. Committee, I need you to look at this closely, because this happens to other teams in the nation. When they lose to an unranked, they fall heavy. But since you guys have personal favorites, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna say it like this. I feel like the committee won't drop them lower than like 17. I think Penn State at 7 right now, I don't think they'll move them past 17. But I think they should be in at least the 20s or out, losing this game to a team that they should be quote unquote better than. Illinois with this win is now 3-5. Penn State is 5-2 on the season. This is a bad loss, especially when they're a top 10 ranked team. We have another top 10 ranked team that loses to an unranked in their conference. Oklahoma State loses on the road to Iowa State. The Cyclones win this one 24-21. But Iowa State has a better record, though. Iowa State is 5-2, honestly. Well, they were 4-2 when this game started. Oklahoma State was undefeated. So I think it's like a different beast if you look at this because of, you know, everybody's going to give them their best shot because they're unbeaten. They're a top-10 ranked team also. But I kind of look at it differently because Illinois was, I mean, they had a bad season going on. Iowa State actually was ranked earlier, suffered some losses and trying to fight their way back into the top 25. So I wonder how the committee handles at least those two losses in the top 10. Of course, it seems like every week now there is an upset somewhere in the top 10. Moving right along, Oregon wins their game up against UCLA 34-31. This game was interesting throughout the entirety of the game. UCLA did make this a game, but the Ducks held on. I wonder if Oregon could get back into the thick of things, but we will see. The next matchup I have is, and I can't believe this is happening, Ole Miss wins their matchup up against LSU 31-17 in the wake of everything that's happening in Baton Rouge, where Orgeron is set not to return. This is a game, I'm not going to lie, even though Ole Miss is 6-1 on the season, I feel like LSU should have been able to win this game, but Matt Corral is having a good season so far. I can't take away what he's done, but for this game, he did not perform extremely well. He was 18-23, had 185 yards passing and one touchdown, 93 of which of his passing yards went to Dontario Drummond. So half of his totality of the passes went to one receiver. So LSU, especially with the defense that they do have, I feel like they could have slowed it down, in which they did. Snoop Connor had 117 yards. They offered 14 carries. LSU has their issues. They're going to have to fulfill that coaching vacancy. It's puzzling because LSU has been here 2 years ago at the mountaintop, and now we have the scenario going down. Notre Dame wins their matchup up against USC 31-16. USC has already gotten rid of their coach, so I want to see what coach they do bring in there next season to kind of – this has to turn around. I'm not used to seeing USC be down for this long, especially being a Pac-10 team – or Pac-12, excuse me, team at this point in time. And for them, they're under 500, and we'll see if they can turn things around as well. The next matchup I have – people, if you have not been watching or hearing about these guys, Wake Forest is 7-0, beating – Army in a basketball game, 70-56. An impressive win on the road. I have to give Wake their credit. I want to see if they can continue to run the table because right now they are looking like the team to beat in the ACC. I can't believe I'm saying Wake Forest. The next matchup I have is Texas A&M beating South Carolina 44-14, in which I want to know which way South Carolina goes, but Calzada, being a quarterback of Texas A&M, finished with 187 yards passing, two touchdowns thrown. They also had a good rushing day from Devin Achane. He finishes with 154 yards rushing on 20 carries and a touchdown as well. I can't really say too much about Texas A&M. But after the two losses they suffered, they've actually been playing stronger, in which they also did beat Alabama. So hopefully Jimbo could get these guys to continue to run this table and try to do something interesting at the end of the season. Now, the game that I have my eyes toward, I can't believe that this happens in a blackout in Miami. Miami wins their game up against NC State 31-30, in which this was going back and forth, score after score. Miami was up, and NC State takes the lead at half. Miami goes back up, NC State takes the lead or cuts it to a couple points, and then Miami gets a field goal to put it to four. North Carolina State gets another field goal or cuts it to one, and it remains at 31-30. Miami wins this game. Finally, they get their heads out of the clouds and get closer to a potential 500 season. But this is unacceptable for me because I'm used to seeing these guys play better. But Miami came out of the season stumbling, getting beaten up bad by Alabama, in which I wonder which way they go with the coaching situation in Miami. But that's neither here nor there. They do pull this off up against the NC State team that was 5-1 at the time. The next matchup I have is San Diego State going up against Air Force 20-14. Can't really say too much about this because San Diego State has been doing a great job all season long and more or less not being recognized for what they've been able to do at this point in time. But nevertheless, like I said, the top 25 has been interesting. Hopefully they can actually clear the rest of the table out for the remainder of the schedule and try to get to a Big Bowl. I don't think they get anywhere near like a, you know, like a playoff, if you will. But they win this matchup in a Mountain West matchup, and I froze, 20-14. The next matchup I have is something that I called on a podcast earlier. Pittsburgh wins their matchup up against Clemson, 27-17. And I'm going to stop right here. As good as Clemson has played in years past, Trevor Lawrence and company leave. They have a lot of good players that have left and gone on to the league and, you know, trying to improve their careers. What does this say about Dabo? Dabo actually had the bench DJ in the midst of this game. Can he improve the quarterback play? Can this team put up points? Clemson is looking like the old Clemson, like a team that people could just run over. And I don't want to take too much away from, you know, a guy like Dabo Sweeney, but look, are you going to leave? Are you going to run away from Clemson and go to another school where you get a lot of top recruits and then they, you know, kind of make you look better? Because right now you're looking like you can potentially head to 500 or lower depending on how the remainder of the schedule goes. I'm going to look into the schedule too as I get through the rest of the schedule. To round out the top 25, University of Texas San Antonio beats Louisiana Tech 45-16. UTSA, they are 8-0 on the season. We'll see how they look at this as they're a Conference USA team and doing what they can to run through the remainder of their schedule. And to round out the top 25, Wisconsin beats the number 25-ranked Purdue Boilermakers 30-13, in which Purdue just had a big win last week. They just had a big win last week. The committee puts them right in the top 25. At 25, they lose. They're going to go right back out the door. Wisconsin wins this game on the road in Indiana, 30-13. Okay, and we do have somebody in the queue. I was not looking. I was looking at the scores. Mike, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing, sir?
Doing all right. Just getting through the scores. Your thoughts on games that you may have heard me speak on or a game that I may have missed?
So a couple things. A, I'm not surprised Ole Miss beating LSU yesterday. Just better offensive coaching right now. Second of all, I'm not surprised about Purdue losing, man. It's that classic trap game or that letdown game after you just pull off a big win. And it's interesting to hear from Illinois again. They were kind of down this year. You know, they beat Nebraska, which got us talking about Scott Frost in week one. So for them to Illinois to come back and pull that win over Penn State was impressive. And, you know, you definitely know you spoke to those new overtime rules. If it had gone 9 overtimes before, it would have been a basketball score, right? So now you know we're going to just those two-point conversions, you know, in those extra overtime. So congratulations to the U and being able to pull a win out yesterday over a decent football team. You know, Wake Forest is interesting. I think Pitt is the – I think Pitt's definitely the class of the ACC this year, which is real interesting. We may have a we may have a ACC championship game of Pitt versus Wake Forest this season, which would be a different cast of characters for sure. So, no, I mean, overall it was kind of Michigan takes care of business 33-7 to put themselves in that, you know, ready for that game next week. That undefeated matchup between Michigan and Michigan State next weekend will be very, very interesting. And, you know, the other thing that I will say is you point out that Penn State lost yesterday. There's all this talk about James Franklin, and we had all these conversations earlier in the year about Penn State being back, right? Like maybe last year was just an aberration and they didn't quite do, you know, whatever, Penn State's back. Well, Penn State's got 3 losses right now, and they haven't played Michigan State or Ohio State. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the season looks like at the end of it for James Franklin.
How do you feel that matchup goes between Big Blue and Little Brother?
I feel like that's such a tough thing to say because a lot of times I want to feel like we have that Michigan's back. Penn State's been the better program over the last few years. But I'm going to, right now, I'm just going to say that Michigan State has been looking, I mean, I'm sorry, Michigan's been looking a little bit more impressive with its size of victory and that kind of stuff. So over the course of the week, I'm going to sit down and break it down and actually look at numbers across both teams. But if I had to pick right now, I would say that I would be leaning more towards Michigan Big Blue beating Little Brother this year.
And Michigan State has actually been playing good this year. We will see in the next 6 days, Michigan versus Michigan State. And I think this takes place. I want to make sure that I get this right. I don't want to say it falsely. I think it might be in Ann Arbor. I want to make sure that it is in Ann Arbor, though. If it's in the Big House, then this could be interesting for Michigan. If it's in Lansing, this could be anybody's game. I'm trying to pull up this schedule quickly. I was not prepared for that. I actually put this on myself. And this is in Lansing. Well, East Lansing it is. So the Sparties are at home. Can Michigan run this table? Listen to the remainder. So they have Michigan State and East Lansing. They have Indiana, Penn State, Maryland, and they end the season up against their rival that was, I don't even know if I could call it a rival, but ends it up against Ohio State. Can they get it done? That is the question, if they can actually beat them, because they have not been successful in doing this in quite some time. That's their big brother. Since they call themselves the big brother in the state of Michigan, their big brother is Ohio State. And it, to me, this is no longer even a rivalry. Like, this is just a game that's being played at the end of the day in the Big Ten. So I don't know. This is going to be an interesting game for them. They got to deal with every, you know, one step at a time. Don't look past Michigan State and worry about Ohio State. It would be a big win if they can. And this is a big game for both of these teams, because Michigan State hasn't been this strongly successful in quite some time. Like, they've had runs where they've gotten to, you know, as far as like a Big Ten matchup and lose late in the season. But right now, Michigan State is looking like one of the teams to beat, and to me, probably one of the leaders for the Heisman voting as well, and Kenneth Walker, too. So Michigan has their – both of these Michigan teams have their work cut out for them, being Michigan State and Michigan as well. So we will see how this does pan out. But anything else that you'd like to hit on before we get away from this?
No, I just – I think – that, to me, that's the interesting thing in the Big Ten. We've seen it once again as far as one division has separated itself from the other. The one team that was looking like, oh, maybe it could be there at the end, on the Western Division side, you know, obviously choked again last week. They needed a week off this week, so good for them. But, like, you know, Iowa doesn't look invincible to me, so they should be the team that comes out of that Western Division. But you know, Nebraska's played some games a little closer down the stretch, so we'll see. I'm just interested to see how those three teams from the Big Ten, or actually four teams, even though Penn State's not going to be they've already lost too much to be a contender, but can they be a fly in the ointment, if you will, and upset somebody else's dreams, you know, down the stretch? Right now, that to me is the most intriguing piece. And the last thing that I will say is we learned again that the Big 12 is fraught. Oklahoma barely got by Kansas, even with a good quarterback, because they're not playing defense. Oklahoma State, the only other undefeated team in that conference, lost to Iowa State. That's not the first, and it probably won't be the last time that Iowa State ends up beating them and ruining an undefeated season for them. So, you know, I don't think we're going to have any serious Oklahoma, if they can run the table, may get a shot at the playoff table. But I don't believe anybody from that conference is going to legitimately contend for a national title.
And it'd be interesting, because if Oklahoma runs the table, the committee, I feel, would definitely put them in the playoff. And if they got there and this offense stayed as strong as it is, because I think that's the wheelhouse of Oklahoma, is the offense. I can't really, just like you said, that Big 12 doesn't play any defense, in which they were in trouble up against Kansas, where Kansas, to me, is a basketball school. I can't look at Kansas as, you know, being a collegiate football powerhouse ever since the 60s when Gale Sayers was there, you know. So we will see, you know, how this pans out for Oklahoma, if they could run the remainder of their schedule. And I'm scrambling trying to think of, like, what to say, because I'm trying to figure out the remainder of their schedule also. as I look for it. But it looks favorable for them. I don't want to take too much away from them at the end of the day. But we will see the job that he's been able to do. Say that again. I'm sorry.
No, the only thing, Oklahoma has not yet played Oklahoma State, and which I think is happening next weekend. And they also haven't played because they moved that game to earlier in the year since they were doing the conference championship game. And I think Oklahoma still has to see Iowa State at some point before the year is out. But, you know, they got most of the other tough matchups out of the way. Yeah, and you're right. Other than 1 year under was a big dude's name, Mangino, Mark Mangino, when Kansas and Missouri were both right there at the top of the college football poll for 1 year. Kansas hasn't done anything since the Gale Stairs days. That's a long road back for them in football, and so we'll see if they can ever get back to respectability.
So here's the remainder of the schedule. Next week they play Texas Tech. The week after they play the number 20th ranked Baylor, and this is in Baylor. Then they round that out playing Iowa State, which they had a big win this week too, and then they end the season up against the state rival. In Stillwater up against Oklahoma State on the 27th of November. So they have three tough games down the stretch that they're going to have to compete, in which the last – no, okay, so it's 2-2. Two are at home, two are away, so they don't have too much on the road or too much at home as well. So their work is cut out for them. It starts and takes place this coming Saturday up against Texas Tech with a 3:30 start Eastern Standard. Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to hit on college football that I may have missed? Any games outside of the top 25? Because I usually try to do the top 25. But if there's a game outside of the top 25 that you want to break down, we can. And then we can get into the picks and predictions, thoughts and opinions toward week 7 of the NFL season.
Yeah, I was just running through in my head if there were any other major notable matchups I did not get on it. Hear you when you first started on the scoreboard. I was interested that the Coastal Carolina team lost to Appalachian State the other day when Coastal Carolina had been looking so good. And, you know, Appy State had competed well against the bigger schools, but, you know, that was interesting to me. And then, you know, obviously what Cincinnati is bringing to the table this year is going to be interesting to see if they can win out. And if so, is this a year that – a team from that AAC for sure gets a seat at the playoff table. And I'm good, man.
And they almost lost that game being Cincinnati, too. I'm interested that you brought that up to see how that thing went down with Navy. They win this game 27-20, and I'm actually trying to pull up the remainder of Cincinnati. And it's interesting that you keep catching me. This is you coming to the doggone kitchen and making me scramble around. So now I want to look at people's remainder of this schedule to see how they fare out for the remainder of the season. And I'm not going to lie, I do want to see if Cincinnati can do it, because just because of the story of last year, how they lost in a bowl game and a lot of the players basically stood on the out-of-bounds line just watching the other team celebrate and watching the confetti fall. It's kind of like their get back at this season right now. So it's like I feel for Cincinnati to like at least try to get to the playoffs and get out there and win, especially being in the conference at the end. A lot of people don't give Cincinnati credit, but for the win that they've been able to deal with and play the teams that are on their schedule, I mean, what else can they do? They're going to get everybody's best at the end of the day. So I am pulling up their schedule as we talk right now, and this is the remainder of their schedule as follows. The next week they have, I think that's Tulane. I think that's the Green Wave. Is that them?
Yeah,
that is Tulane. Yeah. That is Tulane in the next matchup that they have, and Tulane is 1-6. Hopefully that isn't an upset. I don't want to talk that into existence, but just knowing stronger or stranger things have happened. They have Tulsa.
That's a strange one in Tulane, too.
That's what I just said. They also have Tulsa. Mm-hmm. They have South Florida, and they have SMU, East Carolina to round out the season. SMU and – I think they can take care of South Florida, but some stranger things have happened there as well. I think SMU and that East Carolina game could be trip-up games, especially if they're hanging on to the momentum that they have. But I want to see them win this thing out. I want to see them run the table as best as possible. And I'm like I said, it's not like a bias, but I want to see them actually, you know, get back to a better favorable situation. They're number two ranked. Hopefully the committee doesn't take it out on them the way that this game went down. But, you know, the committee has their favorites. And, again, we'll see how this ends. I think you were trying to say something, Mike.
No, you're good. Tulsa is one of those teams, too, that they sometimes can be a matchup problem. Yeah, they pushed Oklahoma State earlier in the season, even until late in the game. I would not read too much into, you know, I know a lot of people, some of these talking heads are saying, well, maybe Cincinnati's not as good as they're cracked up to be, coming close against Navy. Listen, at times a win's a win. These are college kids. You got to get them up week in and week out for different games, certain motivational levels. And the one thing I can tell you is, for the most part, these military academies, Navy, Air Force, Army, these guys come disciplined. These guys come ready to play. They don't beat themselves a lot. And you have to really play a lot of times to beat these guys, even if you're more talented on the board. So I'm with you, Time. I'm interested in Cincinnati. I want to see what they can pull out. I'd like to see it win out. Just because everybody thought it would never happen. I'd like to see if they could win. If they do win out, can we see a team from the AAC actually have a seat at that four-seat table at the end of the season and get a shot to play for a national championship?
Right. And that's the one thing that they hold against teams like that, especially in the American Athletic Conference. But, I don't want the committee to be brutal. I feel like they may potentially drop them out of the top two with the way that they had to win that game up against Navy yesterday. But we'll see. Cincinnati, I'm rooting for you to actually hold on to that, to put pressure on the committee, because they're so inconsistent week in and week out, year in and year out. That's one thing. I just don't like it. I don't like it. They need new people to go up there and vote. Okay, so we are here. Week seven, Sleek. Call number is 929-477-2759. I have controversy here as well, so we'll get to him in a little bit. The first matchup I have here is Washington going into Lambeau up against the Packers. We have time. I'm not going to do it. So, Mike, your thoughts on this game, who you like and why? Football team or Packers?
Packers, probably fairly big.
And the spread is 8.5. That's very interesting comparison to a lot of the other spreads across the board in the NFL here for week seven. I'm agreeing. I'm going to go with the Packers. I don't know if this is going to be a big one. This is something that could probably have you at the edge of your seat. And the over-under set at 47.5, this might be an under, too. So this is something that you got to watch closely, especially if Washington does come up with some shock value type of game to have. It'd be a late game and having Rodgers worry about this one, but I'm going to go with the Packers. But I feel like that 8.5 is pretty questionable, and I feel like the Packers should dominate the football team. James, your thoughts on this game, the football team on the road up against the Packers in Lambeau?
Yeah, the football team has not been the same defense that they were last year, and it's definitely been showing as far as their ability to stop the pass in particular. The football team is merely middle of the pack as it comes to passing defense. And then when you take a look at what their rushing defense has been, it's been kind of even lower than average. So putting them against a high-powered offense like the Green Bay Packers is going to be a big problem, although they have been improving since the beginning half of the year. Meanwhile, the Packers have been blowing everybody up on the air game, so I can't see anybody – I can't see this football team making that big of a difference. I'm going with the same. I'm going to take the Packers. I will give you the points. But Packers are going to win by at least two scores.
The next matchup that I have are the Kansas City Chiefs on the road up against the Tennessee Titans, both of which of these teams are trying to fight to keep their momentum going. As the Titans are 4-2, the Chiefs are 3-3. Can the Titans keep the Chiefs at 500 or lower? A tie will keep them at 500. If they beat them, the Chiefs go to 3-4 on the season. James, I'll come right back to you. Your thoughts, Chiefs or Titans?
Long story short is no, not at all. I mean, yards per attempt, Tennessee Titans are pretty close to the bottom of the league, at least in the bottom 10 as far as yards per attempt. That's on the defensive side, defensively, yards per attempt against the pass. And you're going against probably the strongest passing offense in the entire league. Tyreek Hill's going to have a big day. Travis Kelce could finally get himself off this night, even though teams have been keying off him. But at the end of the day, they only and this is with them feeding Derrick Henry, like, all the time. So not only are they running more, but they're still having a bad time against the pass, which statistically shouldn't happen. I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm going to go with probably 7 to 8 points differential.
Mike, your thoughts? Who do you like in this matchup, Chiefs or Titans, and why?
Neither team plays very good defense. Derrick Henry is a man amongst boys on the football field, as we're continuing to see. I do think that as A.J. Brown continues to get back healthy, I think that's going to be very helpful for the Titans. Offense, I'm still not sold on Mr. Tannehill at the quarterback position, but I feel like somehow the Chiefs are going to win today. I feel like the Titans, that was a big win for them on Monday Night Football. I didn't necessarily expect them to pull that out, but that was a big win for them to get that home win over the Buffalo Bills. But one of the most Tennessee Titans things is not to follow up success with success. So, somebody said it in another discussion, and I agree. They're going to find a way to lose one of these two games. I don't think they're going to be able to ride this momentum and get both of them and just continue cruising moving forward. So only because I think the Titans have always found a way to trip over their own feet, even though they a lot of times will still make it to the postseason recently, I think the Kansas City Chiefs win today.
And the spread is at 4.5. They have this post. You know what? I'm going against the grain. The Titans win this game. I feel like the Titans will pull off the upset up against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are playing inconsistent. And as much as they talk about the Titans' defense, if you have not seen Kansas City's defense play ball, oh, Nelly, this is a whole other thing you got coming. I'm going with the upset today. The next matchup I have are the Atlanta Falcons going into Miami. I must say this. I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I feel like the Dolphins go home and protect their house as best as possible. Even though the Falcons do have a legit offense, their defense has not been able to stop anything as well. I feel like the Dolphins need to get this thing going, turn this thing around, as they both are struggling on the season. I'm going Dolphins. James, your thoughts on this game, Falcons or Dolphins in Miami?
The Dolphins have kind of taken a major step back since the two injuries happened. But they haven't really gotten it back yet. I'm going to take the Falcons. I think that after the discovery of what Cordarrelle Patterson can do, he's been kind of a focal point of this offense. They're coming off of a bye. I think that the Falcons take this game. I'm going with the Falcons.
Mike, who do you like in this matchup, Atlanta or Miami in Miami?
So let me just go on record and say that I have been wrong about the Miami Dolphins. That's one of, the two or three teams with the Detroit Lions and a couple other ones that I've been wrong about all year. I think that was a very tough loss for Miami in Jacksonville, in London last week against Jacksonville. I believe that, I think that Miami is probably a little bit better defensively, though they haven't shown it. And I don't think either one of these teams are great. I have enjoyed seeing what Cordarrelle Patterson has done over the last couple of weeks. I think as Ridley gets back healthy, if he can make a few plays in the passing game, it takes a little bit of pressure off of Pitts as well. And I think we start to see what we got in him. But I'm going to take the home team. I may be wrong, but I'm going to take the home team and say the Dolphins find a way to squeak one out this week.
Okay, so we have a very tough matchup coming up next, and it is the New York Jets up against the New England Patriots. Two rookie quarterbacks going at it. trying to figure out their way.
You didn't pick Dolphins Falcons.
Yes, I picked Miami to start off. I said Miami.
Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
James, did you hear me pick it at all either? Did I not pick it? I thought I picked Miami.
Yeah, I heard you pick it. You picked Miami.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, so Jets-Patriots, interesting AFC East game. This used to be a good game when it was Mark Sanchez and Tom Brady. Now it's Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, and I was big on Zach Wilson, but now that was him coming to the league. It's like now he has to take his growing pains as best as possible, try to grow on the fly, and this game is taking place in Massachusetts. I got to go around the room because we do got good time, so I want to burn this up as best as possible. Mike, I'll start with you first. Jets in Foxborough up against the Patriots. Who do you like and why?
Yeah, this is the one team this year that the Patriots have matched up well against and looked good against, in actually victory. So they, Bill Belichick and those guys, confused Zach Wilson. I told you guys before the last game, the question is, could Bill Belichick make Zach Wilson see ghosts? He saw some similar to them, but now you got to go to their house in Foxborough. You know, I don't think the rookie has progressed that much yet. So the Patriots get it done again today at home against the Jets.
Okay, James, you're gang green. Who do you like in this matchup against the Brady, the former Bradyites?
So one thing that's been true over time when it comes to the NFL, and this is spanning decades at this point, Bill Belichick does not lose to rookie quarterbacks. And the last time those two faced each other, Zach Wilson went off in the wrong direction. Probably completed more passes to Patriots defenders than New York Jet wide receivers in that game. And I don't think it's going to be that much different this time. I'm going to take the Patriots. I'm going to take them big. Like 2.5 scores big.
The spread is 7. If they can make the defense
get... I would make it 17. I would make it 17.
Wow. Okay. We'll go from there. Okay. I'm going to go Patriots as well. I think they cover. I don't think it's as bloody as James says. James says 17. I don't know if it's going to get that bad, but I say the Patriots do win this game. So we are clear across the board there. Sports City, I did something for you guys, so you guys have to kind of feel, I can't just say you guys have to feel special, but I was invited to go to the Giants game today and didn't because they hit me up 10 minutes before the start of this show, and I had skybox seats given to me, and I was like, I got this show, and it's too late. Like, Sports City, you guys are honored that I didn't turn that down, but the Panthers are playing the Giants in the Meadowlands at MetLife. I'm going to go with the Panthers to win this game, even though I feel shaky about taking them over the Giants, because the Giants are home. I feel like this is a game that they can win, especially this being his old house being of Sam Darnold, but he was wearing a different color. I feel like the Panthers have to get this thing started. If not, then the questions will loom around Sam Darnold, and I will feel so right about talking so much smack about him because he is who he is to me. The first three games that he got his wins were up against teams that are struggling at this point in time and struggling to put wins together also. He's on a losing streak now, especially without Christian McCaffrey. He's not been able to do much without his star that's behind him. I got to be fair that his star is not there, but he should be able to make do with Hubbard, and Hubbard's actually been doing well running the ball also. James, your thought on this game, the Panthers in New York up against the Giants.
I mean, this is going to be, if the Panthers lose this game, it is going to be a full refutation of the idea that they should have spent a third round pick on Sam Darnold. Yeah, Chris McCaffrey's not there. Chuba Hubbard's doing okay in that role, but this is the New York Giants. This is the New York football Giants who have won a single game, and it was one that they really shouldn't have won in the first place all season long. This is a bad team. Yeah, Saquon's back, but it's the first, or I believe it's back. It's going to be the first game back in a while, so I can't see him going completely off in this particular game. We'll look out for him in the next game. But in all of this, I am picking the Carolina Panthers to win the game.
Okay, Mike, your thoughts on this game? Panthers in New York up against the Giants. There's a lot of injuries on the board for the Giants as well.
There are a lot of injuries, I feel like, for both teams across the board. You know, there's a part of me that wants to pick the Giants because they're at home. I still think Chuba Hubbard may be better than any running back that the Giants have with Saquon Barkley out. So, I read some people that I really like who were taking the Giants coming into this, and I can understand at home, but I'm going to say the Panthers win.
Okay, the next matchup I have is an interesting one. This is a very interesting matchup. The Cincinnati Bengals up against the Baltimore Ravens, in which this is a fight for the top of the AFC North. I repeat, this is a fight for the top of the AFC North. Joe Burrow is turning this thing around instantly. He has a good amount of receivers on the outside, too, to make a difference. And what else can you say? I mean, Lamar Jackson is on an MVP tear right now. I didn't think that this would be the way that this would pan out. If he didn't fumble that ball in Las Vegas, they could potentially be undefeated at this point in time, where I think he lost the ball three different times in that game. Nevertheless, they are 5-1 at this point in time in the season. I really don't know which way to go, but I am going to go Ravens because the Ravens are at home. I'm going to go with the home team because I feel like the way that this offense is actually picking up ground and him believing in the passing game now, there's no more people talking about he can't pass anymore. He's one of the better passers in the league right now. So, Lamar Jackson, keep doing what you're doing. This is very interesting because you and Burrow can actually make plays with your feet as well throwing the ball. But I'm going with Lamar, especially the way that he's been coming out the cannon making plays this season. I'm going Ravens. Mike, your thoughts on this game, Bengals or Ravens in Baltimore?
I like the Baltimore Ravens. There are a couple of, obviously, as you know, for personal reasons, there are some players on Cincinnati that I really like. But as far as and good for them, like, I think they are definitely taking a big step forward this year. I thought that they would be better. And right now they're surpassing a lot of people's expectations. But when it comes to dealing with the Ravens and when it comes to actually contending as far as being at the top of the AFC North, to quote Mystical, y'all ain't ready yet. But you continue to put up some numbers and continue to grow as a franchise. It'll be interesting to see what this team does moving forward because this is a very young nucleus right now. But the Ravens today get it done.
Okay, James, your thoughts on this game and why? Who do you like in the matchup, Bengals or Ravens?
You know what? I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals. I didn't come into the show thinking I was going to take the Bengals, but the Bengals are a top 10 defense as far as rushing yards are concerned. They're also a top 3 defense in passing yards are concerned. This is a very, very tough Cincinnati Bengals defense for what we're used to thinking that they are. And on top of that, yeah, Lamar Jackson's not being picked on for being a poor passer anymore, but I wouldn't put him as far as the top, 10, 15 passers in the league. I don't think I would put him there. I think that most of it is scheming and awesome defensive capabilities, the fact that they are scheming well to give him open opportunities down the field with their incredibly good running game. I think that that helps him. But if they're not establishing the run against a significantly above average run defense, it could make things a lot harder for Lamar Jackson down the field. So I'm going to take the Bengals and probably the upset this week.
Interesting stuff. So everybody got their pick in on this, right? Bengals, me and Mike and James. Okay, so we're all set. We do have Barry here. Barry, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling today?
Super Villain. What's up, brothers?
How you doing, man? Crazy morning, but I'm here with y'all, man. Good to hear y'all voices.
Who do you like in the matchup, Bengals or Ravens?
Oh, I love disagreeing with Mr. Controversy because that's what I do, baby. That's what I do. Listen, if you don't think Lamar Jackson is an elite passer, you haven't been watching. Yeah, it's scheme. Yeah, it's play action pass, sucking up the linebackers and throwing behind them. But I'm looking at the Colts game where they had no room for play action because they were down. He had to drop back and pass, and he has been accurate all year. His passing game is getting better and better by the minute. I like the Ravens in this game. I think the Bengals are a great story. They are going to be someone to fight with come the end of the season. But I think the Ravens at home, to TP's point, will get the edge on this game. But look out for the Bengals. That offense, they have as good a receiving core as anybody. Burrow's playing good football. I like the Ravens today, though.
Fair enough. The next matchup we have is the Philadelphia Eagles, James' favorite team, and Barry actually wears this color green every Sunday, up against the Las Vegas Raiders. This is taking place in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, right behind the Strip. Who do you guys like in this matchup and why? Barry, I'll start up with you. Your Philadelphia Eagles up against the Raiders in Vegas.
So disrespectful. TP Timeless. Everybody, you think he's a hero. He's not. He's disrespectful to the villain. He knows I hate the Eagles. I hate everything about them. I just hate the Eagles. But I like the Raiders in this matchup. I liked what I saw last week, even though I think most of us picked against them last week after all the controversy going. Derek Carr looks good. I look for Henry Ruggs to be a fantasy stud today. I look for Carr to have a nice fantasy game as well. I like the Raiders in this game. I just don't see enough offense in Philadelphia consistently to say that they are going to take this game away from the Raiders.
This guy's always laying. I don't know why he does it to me. Because you got to see him when he puts his Reggie White jersey on and things of that nature, Ricky Waters. He got all of that stuff in the house. Like I tried to tell you before.
He's lying to you, people. He's lying to you. He's lying to you.
He
can't even say it with a straight face.
He won't even let me finish talking. Like, this is bad. They won't even let me finish talking. He's the one smiling. Who do it sound like smiling, me or him? It's him. He's smiling. This is the same guy that said he's not a Mets fan, but got all type of Mets paraphernalia lying around. Listen, okay, so let's...
But those are two different things. You're talking about the Mets.
Hold on,
you don't have nothing to say. You don't get to talk right now. Hold on. I didn't say James. Hold on. This is Mike, wait. Hold on. I can't just keep Eagle fanning this out. Mike, who do you like in this matchup, Eagles or Raiders in Vegas, and why?
You know, I'm going to tell you, the Raiders, I was really worried with all this shakeup. But they, as Barry said, they tended to look good last week. The other thing that right now, Jacobs has been up and down, but I like Ruggs' speed. I think it's starting to show out. Carr's playing well. Kenyon Drake, when healthy, has a nose for the end zone. I just think I think they have a little bit too much. That Raiders defense has been a little suspect at times. So I expect this to be a very high-scoring game, like 34-31, 37-30 kind of thing. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored on both sides in this game because I think Jalen Hurts will make some plays with his legs. I think they'll go to Miles Sanders a little bit. I expect the Eagles to put up some points in this game, and I expect it to be a high-scoring game, but I think the home team finds a way to win in the end.
Okay, now you can go, James. Your thoughts on your Eagles or your Raiders? I know you're tied up in between these two teams. Because you have a lot of emotion invested in both organizations. Who are you going with? The place where you got your degree or Tywan Jones's draft team?
Hey, man, I do love me some Tywan Jones. But I do have to say it feels good as a lifelong New York Yankees fan that the Boston Red Sox did not win. That's just great for me.
I hate him.
The real villain shows himself. You're like Lex Luthor, and I'm Thanos, okay? You know, that's just how it is.
I hate him, man. I hate him. I can't.
But anyway, I'm picking the Raiders in this game. If they didn't fall apart last week with all that pressure on them, then they're not going to lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. But I do have to say, in the defense of my good friend the villain, that TP often likes to attribute people to teams that they don't really belong to. It's been a shtick of his for years. So I believe, Barry, that he's not a Kelly Green-wearing Philadelphia Eagles fan. But all in all, I'm going with the Raiders in this one.
And TP, real quick, one thing that I do know, speaking to CEV Sports down in Philadelphia, friend of the program, that, you know, they're frustrated in Philadelphia because they have a good running back that they don't get the ball to in Miles Sanders. I think that's a key too, mm-hmm. TP. Like, they need to run the ball. This guy gets 5 yards a pop. He's electric when he gets the ball. They just don't run it enough. I think the offense is really kind of broken down there just from a scheme perspective. I think they need to figure that out.
I agree. Miles Sanders does deserve multiple more opportunities at trying to make things happen. But I think – I don't know how they get tired of trying to put so much pressure on the Jalen Hurts. And he is a decent quarterback. I won't say good or great or anything. He's decent. He can make plays happen on the ground and running, but they don't have the pieces around him to make things better, and they got rid of one of his better tight ends. I mean, Dallas is a different thing at the tight end position, but Zach Ertz was making a name for himself, and you get rid of him and send him to Arizona. I question the way that this Eagles team is turning, but, I mean, you got two NFC East guys and Barry and James trying to tell me how they, you know, love this team or don't like what's going on in the NFC East. So I try my best, you know, and James,
okay,
and you guys
this
know.
Coming from the Packers.
Wait, hold on.
Right?
Excuse me. I didn't interrupt you when you were talking. Why do you guys do this once
that's
I talk?
Fine.
Every time I talk.
Because it's blasphemy what
right.
you're
this
doing.
This,
it's rude.
This,
I'm not going to let
right.
you continue and be
this
rude.
Rude.
It's
yes,
rude.
Yes,
you're lying to the people. You're lying.
Rude is what you're doing to me. Rude.
You're lying to the people. Tell them the truth, TP. Tell them the truth. Tell
rude
the truth.
Is what you're doing to me right now. I'm talking.
He's so lying. Lying.
This is terrible. Listen, Twisted, I apologize that you have to go through this on the air with me and these guys. Like I told you, he had Mets paraphernalia. Did I lie? You've seen all of that stuff. I may be pushing it a little bit right now, but it's okay. I mean, I know he likes the Eagles. He goes to Philadelphia all the time. And you got a situation where James was taking pictures at the freaking link. He was at the link taking pictures. I noticed. Like, he graduated from the University of Philadelphia. This is where he got his degree. Come on. He went to school out there for a reason. That's why he tried to pile on so much on the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, this is all true. They both are smiling like first grade picture day. I'm telling you. Okay, so let's keep going until I was rudely interrupted. The next 4 o'clock game, we have the Lions up against the Rams. I'm going to go around the room and see how you guys feel about this one because we do have a good amount of time. Barry, your thoughts on this one, the Lions or the Rams? Both of these quarterbacks are going back home. Jared Goff is going back to L.A., and Stafford is playing his former team in the Lions in SoFi and in the Woods.
I mean, I've been picking the Lions the last couple weeks, and it just hasn't worked out for them. They're not an 0-6 team. It's really unfortunate that they are an 0-16. They haven't played like that. But I kind of like Campbell the last 2 weeks, getting emotional the week before, and then the last week really kind of calling out Goff. And I think, you know, Goff is – people forget he was a number one pick. And, you know, I just don't know why we're kind of letting him off the hook of being a number one pick. It's not like he's going to run be a leader and to the point where – he pushes the franchise, like he pushes the team like Tom Brady does or Peyton Manning did as a number one pick. I look at him like an Eli Manning. If you build the team around him, he can win, right? But it's not going to be this week, but I think Jared Goff needs to step up and he needs to play better. He needs to start elevating and lifting his team up. But I think the Rams are too much. I saw really a lot of good things from them last week in New York. I like the Rams in this game. I think they roll.
Okay, Mike, your thoughts on this game, Lions or Rams in L.A.? The spread is 16.5.
That's a lot of points. I expect Sean McVay to try to make a statement on with Stafford today. I expect him to try to be explosive offensively. Mike Berry, you guys know on the show, Sports City, I have taken the Lions several times over the last few weeks. I will not today. I will say that they will get the horns of the Rams, pick themselves up next week, and then we'll try again. But I expect the Rams to flex a little bit of muscle today and win that football game. And
James,
I
didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were done. Go finish. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
No, you're good. I my fault on a pause. I'm curious to see too if this is at all personal for Stafford. I know sometimes Sean McVay likes to be a little bit petty, like, and show them another team what they kind of have explosive wise or whatever. But I'm just curious to see what Stafford's take it. Now not going back to Detroit, it probably won't be the same kind of emotional thing. But when that happens in the future, we'll see. But I think this is definitely a big game for the Rams today.
James, your thoughts on the Lions versus the Rams in SoFi?
I'm going to take the Rams. I'm going to take the Rams big. It's going to be big, like at least 10 points, but is it going to be 16? It's tough because, that Matthew Stafford knows that team like the back of his hand. He's been on the that team for years and years and years now, and he knows the weakness of probably about 3/4 of that team. But then that team also knows, 3/4 of that team knows the weaknesses with Matt Stafford. But it's definitely going to be a Rams win. And it's going to be by double-digit points. Is it going to be 16? I don't want to say. I think I'm going to take the points for the Lions. But I am going to say that overall, the victory goes to the Rams. And it's not going to be close, but some garbage time touchdown is going to happen, and it's going to go from 16 to, 12.
TP, where's the game? Is it in SoFi?
It's in SoFi.
Yes, it's in Inglewood. Yep.
Yeah, I would probably take the points. I would probably take plus 16.5.
The interesting thing about the Lions is if you have to watch it from start to finish. If they come out in bunch sets close to the line of scrimmage, from the beginning of the game till halftime, they won't score. And then in the second half, they try to load up and spread the team out, and then the offense looks good. You should be able to do this from the beginning of the game. I have my questions for Anthony Lynn. I understand that he's a black coach. He was a black head coach out there in L.A., but it is just something about his play calling that has me, not even scratching my head. It's like, Dan Campbell, you're a former tight end. You should actually be taking over some of the responsibility or make the play calling because the offense as well. So, something has to give. They can't keep coming out in bunch sets and putting Goff in a situation where these receivers have to make double moves to get open and he gets sacked and the Lions are in a bad, unfortunate situation. They have to be able to come out cleaner. But I know that this is a game that the Rams should win. Their defense is stronger. I agree with everybody. If I were taking the points, I would take the Lions 16.5. I feel like the Rams can win by more than 16.5, but I feel like the Lions might make this interesting, especially late, that they could try and make their late game push like they always do, even though the Bengals stopped that madness last week and put the Campbell situation on alert where he was like, listen, this has to give. He wanted to put a lot of this on Goff. You need to look within your coaching staff, too, because of the way that the scheme is defensively and also with Anthony Lynn, both Aaron Glenn and Anthony Lynn, they both need to be looked at on which way they want to go moving forward. I think the Rams do win this game, but if I had to take or give the points, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take 16.5 and see if the Lions can stay within the region of not getting beat by 17. I feel like they can keep it close late, especially with the late game heroics of the Lions where they try to make it a game and try to win something late and cut it to 10 or 3 and then try to get some onside. It's always a Lion game like that. The next matchup we have are the and Sports City. I'm about to get personal with this game. I'll go first because I feel a certain way about this game, and I'm sorry that I am going to get personal. The Houston Texans going up against the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are favored by 19.5. Sports City, this is a game I'm taking personal because this is the organization that is in total disarray. They have a quarterback that is probably one of at least the top 10, top 15, some people even say top 5 quarterback, just sitting there because he didn't want to be there because you got rid of his best option in a receiving game. And then you also have this team that got rid of their biggest name in the organization's entirety go to the other team. Both of them are on the other team. I feel like they will punish the Texans right now just for some odd reason. And I know the one thing about J.J. Watt is he don't even have to go sack Deshaun Watson because him and Deshaun have a brotherhood bond in which the last season that they played together, he was like, I'm sorry the defense let you down. And knowing how much DeAndre Hopkins has been trying to do as much as he can in the receiving game and knowing the story of him and his mother and what he's been trying to do with her, it's like, I hope he scores 2 touchdowns today to bring the ball to her twice just so he can score. And basically making him uproot his family from Houston to go out to Arizona, and the Cardinals have been running the table since the start of the season. I'm going with the Cardinals. Houston, this is ridiculous. You even brought in a new head coach that even looks more even ridiculous trying to run this team. The organization, everybody up top from management on down is a laugher. I really want to say I'll give the Texans 19.5. I feel like the Cardinals should win by 20 or more. I'm going to say that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like I said, I'm taking it totally personal. The Houston Texans really, they made me angry at the way that they handled this organization. I'll go around the room and see how this is. I'll come to you next on this one, James. Your thoughts on this game, the Houston Texans in the toaster with the Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, at first I'm thinking, wow, 20 points? That seems like a lot. Is that the actual line, or is that – what's the actual line?
19.5 is what I said.
Ooh, ooh. You know what? I think I'm going to be right there with you. I'm giving the points. I'm taking the Cardinals with them. Even in spite of the points, I – do you think that, like, 3 touchdowns is probably the right spot? but, no, like, this Houston, for, to their credit, this Houston Texans team has, like, surprised me every single step of the way. Sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad ways, but they do have to, like, they have to sell on Deshaun now. Like, I'm guessing they're holding on selling because they believe that they're going to that Deshaun's going to see the other side of this and they're going to be able to get a lot more for him once he is. That's the gamble the Houston Texans are taking right now from a organizational standpoint. They're saying, hey, we can probably get 2 first-round picks for Deshaun now, or we can get 4 first-round picks for Deshaun once all the madness clears. They're gambling on it, and if they win, great for them, because 4 first-round picks, even for Deshaun Watson, is great value. I mean, compared to what the Lions got for Matthew Stafford, which everybody thought was a steal, and I agree. Like, the Lions got a good haul for Matthew Stafford, even though we're going to probably see the Rams as Super Bowl contenders this year for a team that's rebuilding like the Texans and the Lions are. 3 first-round picks are going to go a long way. So, but long story short, I'm picking the Cardinals. I'm picking them big. I'm picking them 21 points big. Let's go.
Okay. I come to you on this one, Mike. Your thoughts on the game, the Houston Texans in Arizona up against the Cardinals. Who do you like and why?
I like the Cardinals like everybody else. I don't know how anybody in their right mind could pick the Texans in this game. That is a lot of points. I expect them to want to make a statement with these guys and be able to cover those points. I'm very iffy. I think there's a lot of other games today. Like, if I were going to play it, I don't know that I would play it with the points just because, I don't know, man. Like, there's something about big point spreads just tend to scare me in the NFL, and I try to avoid them. But I agree with everything that you said, TP, and I'm with the Cardinals today, and I expect them to win by a considerable margin.
Okay, Barry, your thoughts on this game, Texans or Cardinals? Who do you like and why? Oh, and to make it interesting, I guess the 19.5 point spread.
Yeah, that's kind of the only thing that's really a question mark in this game, because you're looking at the two teams that are total opposite spectrums, right? The best team in the league right now, six games in, seven weeks, and then the worst team probably, or one of the worst teams in the league. So, even though the Lions have a worse record, I think they're playing way better than what I've seen the Texans play with as a whole. So I kind of agree with Mike. I think the spread is very high. I think this is the one time that I would actually lay the points. I would lay the 19 points because I don't see how the Texans they can stop anybody on this offense. I don't. Murray's going to go crazy. I like Hopkins in fantasy. I think Ertz is a nice fantasy start too. A great pickup by the Cardinals. I think the defense is going to be flying and get after Mills and really frustrate him. I don't know how it's not going to be at least a 20-point win for the Cardinals.
So, wait, so everybody's going with the 19.5? I'm not the only one?
Yeah, I'm laying it. I'm going to lay those points, TP. I just don't see any. I know they played really well against the Patriots a couple weeks ago, but that's a totally different animal we're talking about, right, from the Patriots to the Cardinals. I'll lay the points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're definitely not the only one. You're not out there on the island, sir. We are all standing next to you.
And the one thing is that it just, I'm personal about it because of the way that the DeAndre Hopkins story is with his mom. And I guess they were looking at him being the problem in Houston, I guess. That's why Bill O'Brien's crazy self got rid of him. And now he's out of a job. He's not there any longer. I think he's with Alabama now. But so what? You got rid of two of the best receivers this game has ever seen with you coaching in the NFL. One in Randy Moss and New England, and then the other was DeAndre Hopkins in Houston. Like, this is you. You're a talent evaluator. Like, get out of here. Get out of here. Anyway, before I get any more personal, because I feel like I'm shaking, get ready to talk more crap about him. The next matchup we have are the Chicago Bears going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. Last year, this was a team that was one of the losses for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got time. Bears, Buccaneers, James, I'll go to you first. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
Bucks and Bucks big. This was a team that played them well last year, but this is a different team than they were last year. I'm not buying it one bit. I'm taking the what's the spread? Let's go against the spread because that's the only way.
It's 11 and a half.
11. Oh, you
11
got 11.
And a half.
I got 12.5 on FanDuel Sportsbook too, TP.
Yeah. Oh, it might have increased. Then I'm looking. Okay.
No, that's all good. But it's still a lot.
I'll probably take the points with the Bears at 12.5 against the Buccaneers. But I don't even feel really comfortable with that. But I do feel very comfortable with the Buccaneers taking the hard win on this one because this is. Like, you can't run against this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. It seems to be pretty – I mean, just for, even from a fantasy perspective, if you're looking at the running back for the Chicago Bears right now, you're probably laying a lot of points just based off of that defense. So now they're going to put the ball in Fields' hands and hope he can produce, but – and don't get me wrong, he's not a bad quarterback by any stretch, but I don't see a rookie quarterback putting the game on his shoulders and winning it for the Bears. So I'm going to take the Bucks and I'm going to lay the points again.
Mike, feel like it is matchup Bears or Buccaneers, and this is in Tampa.
I like Tampa. I think they cover, actually. They may not. The Bears may find a way to make it interesting, but especially with running backs out. Whatever in Tampa being good against the run, they can make Justin Fields beat him throwing the football. I think that Justin Fields will probably learn a lot watching film from this game, and I think this game may end up being a piece to him developing as a professional quarterback. But he gets taught a lesson by Tom Brady and the Bucks today.
You realize how long he's been in New England, almost said the Patriots, right?
Yeah, you
but
said
no,
Patriots. They were coming right out of you. They were coming right out of you really fast. It was a runaway train. I seen it. I swear I seen Patriots come out of him real fast. Barry, who do you like in this matchup, Bears or Buccaneers in Tampa?
I like the Bucs to win. I'm gonna take the points. I'm gonna take 12.5 for the Bears, even though it's on the road. They're in Tampa Bay. I think the injuries are gonna. I don't think they're gonna be massive for this offense, but I think they might kind of hinder them a little bit, not having Gronk and Antonio Brown. I like Godwin in this game. I think he's gonna be a good slot option. If you have a flex or if you got a wide receiver too for fantasy, but yeah, I'll take the points and take my chances, and I think it's a closer game. I think they'll win by like maybe 9 or 10 points.
I'm going Buccaneers. I think the Bears cover though. I think 11.5, 12.5. I think the Bears are going to keep this close. They do have a quarterback that can move. They got speed. And we'll see if they get Robinson to show up too in this receiving game. But knowing that they have Grant and these guys that make plays on the outside that have speed and coming out of the backfield with, Montgomery or Cohen and these guys, I really feel like they can keep this close. But I still think Brady wins this game, especially without Antonio Brown being one of the biggest spoons, if you will, mixing this thing up and Gronk being out too. But they still got O.J. Howard to fill Gronk's shoes. But again, I feel the Bucs pulled this off, especially trying to avenge the defeat that they suffered last year. The next matchup we have is Sunday Night Football, Colts up against the Niners. It will be raining in California, in which both of these teams have 2 wins on the season. I'll set this one off. I think the Niners win this game at home. I feel like this is going to be a very good game, especially with the rain being a instrument to cloud this scenario. But I think the Niners win, especially with all the scrutiny that Jimmy Garoppolo has actually faced throughout the beginning of the season and what he's facing as of this week. If you haven't heard what Martellus Bennett said about him, please read it. It's one of those eyebrow raisers. Whoa, Nelly situations. It is bad. I'll come to you on this one, James. Your thoughts on this game, Colts, 49ers, in Levi Stadium.
I'm going to take the Colts on this one. And this is just like, this is one of those feelings that I get. This is one of those things where my brain is telling me that the 49ers are the better team. They've got better wide receivers. The quarterback is pretty comparable. Jimmy G versus Carson Wentz. But something's telling me it's just some weird instinct that I'm going to pick the Colts over the 49ers in this game. Call it a gut feeling, but that's what I'm taking.
Okay, Barry, how about you, Colts or Niners? Barry, are you there?
Sorry. So stupid. I pulled the mute button again. No, I like the Niners in this game. Jimmy G's back healthy. I did read some of those comments that Martellus Bennett had, kind of eye-opening. But and at the end of the day, I like the 49ers defense in this game. Jonathan Taylor's playing a lot better. I would definitely use him, especially this is a bye week with 6 teams on a bye. But I think the 49ers will pull this guy out. I think it'll be a close game. What's the line on this one, TP? What do you have?
3.5.
I have 3.5. I'll take the 3.5. I'll lay it. 3.5 minus for the 49ers. I'll take that. I think they'll win by a touchdown.
And last but not least, Mike is on this, right? Colts or Niners?
I like the Niners. I like the fact that they're at home. I will say both these teams with 2 wins, like, they both have enough talent that they could be – they could have better records right now. The truth is they don't. I think that Carson Wentz is still kind of finding his way. He's showing some ups and downs. But Hilton out, they're going to have to rely on Michael Pittman Jr. a lot. I feel like the – 49ers have a few more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. They're at home. I think both defenses are fairly decent. So I think the Niners find a way to win. I'm going to say that
three or less. So I think I'd take the Colts plus the 3.5. I'd say Niners win by field goal.
Well, I want to ponder that later. I'll deal with that later. Okay, the last game we have, the Saints at the Seahawks for Monday Night Football. This is in Seattle. The Saints are favored by 4 in Seattle. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you as you guys select your team for this game. I will start with you first, Mr. Controversy. Give me your thoughts on this game. Who do you like? And your closeout as well.
So Saints versus Seahawks, Russell Wilson still not expected to play. That makes things a lot more interesting. I almost still want to pick the Seahawks, but I won't. I'm going to pick the New Orleans Saints and pray on a good Jameis Winston game. That's kind of how you have to play any game with the Saints. Because the Saints are one of those weird teams that can be everybody and can lose to anybody. But so I'm going to take the Saints in a quasi-upset. I don't know what the line is, but I think that it's slightly an upset. Shout out to all the folks on the network, the blogs, the interviews, the chefs. It's good content. And you guys should watch something. If you guys haven't been watching the other shows besides The Brunch, go ahead and check out these other ones. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Look at Mr. Controversy trying to give Barry and the company some light. Look at this guy. See, Barry, it ain't that bad. It ain't that bad. It's not that bad. Mike, give me your thoughts on this game, a plug and close out as well. Saints and Seahawks in Seattle.
2 years ago, Drew Brees goes down. The Saints go into Seattle. Russell Wilson does play. Saints play a backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. Find a way to get it done. I think the Saints are better defensively. Quarterback's anybody's guess, but I think the Saints are better defensively. I think they will find a way to do enough to win tomorrow night in Seattle and go to 4-2. Shout out to the Atlanta Braves going to the World Series for the first time since 1999. Shout out also to the barbershop, to Timeless and Barry. Without Timeless, wouldn't be here, man. Appreciate all the chefs here. Check us out on Clubhouse as well. Keep an eye out on the listen, I know that a lot of people don't necessarily like the sport a lot, and football is getting about halfway through or longer. We're starting to see, you know, college football try to pan out and whatever, and you're also starting to see basketball open, and we know basketball's king on a lot of platforms. But there's about a week left, depending on how long it goes. If you don't watch any other baseball, check out the Fall Classic. It's at least worth looking at. But we'll see moving forward, man. Thank you guys again for having me. And we'll be talking again on the Cookout or Clubhouse or any in the meantime and in between time, man. Much love to Sport City Chefs, and thank you for having me on The Brunch.
See, Mike, there's a reason why they won that game. It's because they played the most underrated – quarterback in the entirety of the NFL. Just saying.
You look at them try to pile on. This is what they do, Swizzle. They try to pile on as I give these guys all type of room to do what they have to do. Barry, you know what to do. Give me your thoughts on the game, Saints Seahawks in Seattle, and a plug and close out as well.
Yeah, I like the Saints in this game, even though both quarterbacks kind of worry me. I like Jameis Winston. To get the win, I'll take the 4.5. I see on FanDuel Sportsbook. You know, I'm placing my bets as we speak. Parlay, give me a parlay. But you know, listen, I like the Saints in this game. Sports City Chefs, the website, the interviews, the blogs. We're doing everything Finger Foods and Lunch Break on YouTube channel exclusively. Finger Foods will be coming this week, but I'd not be complaining about another Giants loss. You know, get to the website. We got blogs going up every day. Friends contributing to the blog through you know, CBE Sports and Philadelphia Sports Group. So big shout out to those guys. We're doing a lot of things. Clubhouse, barbershop. We love you guys. The villain is out.
I'm gonna go with the Saints as well. I did not know this stat. The Seahawks are 0-2 at home. I don't think that Geno has it in him to lead this team to a win.
but you don't know what Saints team you're going to see, if you got Jameis sleeping or if he's playing electric or if it's the Saints defense that played thorough out the gate up against the Packers or the one that fell asleep up against the Panthers. I don't know, but I feel the better of the lesser two evils is the Saints in this matchup. The Seahawks are going to have to prove to me that they can win without Russ. I don't think so. SportsCityChefs.com, like it's been said before, everything that's up there in the merch, purchase a T-shirt, purchase a hoodie, get a hat, get a mask. Look at everything that we're doing from the bios, everybody that we have up here. Get to know your chef. You already know how this go down. Food for thought. Hopefully y'all all can still do these dishes. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we